Turn with us to the book of Jude. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verse 24 and verse 25 tonight. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you for this precious little book of Scripture that we've had the privilege of studying. And Lord, I thank you for it. And Father, tonight, this preacher certainly needs help. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need you, Lord, to do what that certainly which it's impossible for me to do. And Lord, I trust that you'll work on all of our hearts and help us to receive this message as it's intended to be given. And Lord, that you'll be able to use it to your glory. And so, Father, we pray, should there be anyone here unsaved, Father, I pray for their salvation. I pray for we as your children, Lord. We need a touch from heaven. And Father, we need that to be real in our lives, Lord, that we might demonstrate it to a lost world. So, Father, I ask you to do what needs to be done tonight and in the coming weeks. Do that which is needful, Father, that we can be a blessing and a help to this community and to the lost in which we meet. Now, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First statement in verse number 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I'm going to preach a message tonight, which I just simply have entitled, now unto him that is able. Unto him that is able. God is able, folks. I want to go back and give us a couple illustrations from the Bible back in the book of Daniel. So if you're turned back there with me, first of all, to chapter 3, I want to look at some things. And chapter 3, verse number 16, says, Shadrach, Meshach, and this is in Daniel, chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want you to notice here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was absolutely assured of the fact that their God was able. Now, you know, he didn't say we are for sure going to have our lives spared. Right. But he said, you will, my God will deliver us. Amen. I look back in the scriptures and I think about James and was run through with a sword. And then Peter was arrested. And I look at that a lot of times and I say, here is two men, two servants of God. One of them was allowed to be killed. The other, and God spared his life, but they both won. Amen? That's the way I feel. And I say the same thing here. I think that's what they were saying. We're going to win either way. We're just not sure how our God's going to deliver us, but he is going to deliver us. And I want you to notice also in that portion of Scripture, in verse number 17, he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O God. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I think one of the great reasons why they could be so assured that their God was going to take care of them was because they served him. Amen. No, they served him. So they had the great assurance that their God was going to take care of them. These were not just nominal Christians that just kind of done what they wanted to do. This was people who was willing to take a stand for the things of God. And they serve the true and the living God. Now, in verse number 27 and verse 28 of that same portion of Scripture, he says, "And the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." Now listen. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. And he says, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." You notice he divides the fact of service and worship. So they're not going to worship, but they're servants of God. Notice that. And even the king recognized the fact that these were servants of God Almighty. These men served God. They not only worshiped God, they served God. I want you to turn over with me to Daniel, the 6th chapter, for just a moment. 6th chapter, Daniel, verse number 16, says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to the palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought up before him, and his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." You see, Daniel was at peace with the fact of being down in a lion's den, because he knew his God was able. God is able to deliver even from the hungry lions. But I want you to notice again, who was it that God was protecting? Those whom was his servants. And the king even recognized the fact that these were men who served God continually. He knew that. They were God's servants. There was no doubt whatsoever about it. They was just simply served God. I just want to talk to you just a moment, because back here in the book of Jude, verse 24, as you see, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," if you'll read before that, he had just spoken to them about building their faith, staying in the love of God. He wasn't talking to a people who was not building their faith and staying in the love of God. That was instructions he was given to him. And he said, why should you do that? Because my God is able. My God is able to do that. That's why you build your faith. That's why you stay in the love of God. That's why you do right. That's why you serve God. I don't know what kind of recommendation that if you was ever asked to give a recommendation of your pastor, I don't really know what kind of a recommendation you would give. I really don't know what you would say, but I think you would probably have to at least say, give me the benefit of the doubt, that for 34 years, I've kind of stuck with it. And I've been faithful to preach God's word. Amen. I mean, I think that's right. You know, you might have different opinion. I don't know. But I think most of you would say, you know, our pastor, that's the recommendation. You know, he's been faithful pastor. He's preached the word of God. He certainly is not a perfect person, but he stayed faithful. 34 years, he stayed faithful to the Bible. And he's preached the word. Amen. Now, if I was asked to give a recommendation for you, No, you know, I'm, I'm not being smart. Charles English, 30, the whole 30 years you've been treasurer of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Been a deacon, I think, for all of that time. I think, as I remember. In and out of here all the time when we had building programs, wiring, helping Dave there and some of the rest of them wire the buildings, and just faithful, just in and out, doing this and that. In fact, did you want to put the stool in finally? He ended up putting the stool in. Okay, downstairs we had. Huh?
I got part of it.
Okay. All right. You understand what I'm saying? But he's been doing that for years and years and years. And if someone asked me a recommendation of Charles English, I would say he's a faithful brother. Been faithful servant of God down through the years. Now, Charles, do we pay you pretty good for all that? Can I ask you in all seriousness, why do you do that? You do it for the Lord. You do it because you want to serve him, right? But Wackham, why you been driving that bus out there for 27, 8 years? I don't even know what it is. Don't matter. Why you do that for? Why? Huh? You do it for the Lord? You do it because you want to be a servant? Amen. If Bob Townsley was here, Bob and Betty's traveling, Bob Townsley was here, I'd say, would you turn around and look at this 74-year-old man? And you go back and look at all the things. Brother Bob Townsley's still out here doing things for us at the church and just doing and faithful, and I mean just doing. And if I would ask him, he would just simply say, well, I'll serve the Lord. That's what I'm doing it for. Tommy Walton's led singing here for 100 years. But Tommy Walton's led singing, works with a youth choir. Tommy Walton's out here today getting the rock spread all over the driveway out there. I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but we're putting a lot of rock on. It's been needed for a long time. He worked out here. And I'm not saying that to lift him up. He knows that. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to make a point. Because there's many people I could say this about tonight, and I'm not going to hit all of you, okay? But he does that. He leads the youth choir and leads the singing and does all kinds of things. Tommy, let me ask you, why do you do it? Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you have another job? In fact, he's got two. He does the turkey barns. He does the his mechanical work. I mean, it's not because you don't have anything else to do. You just want to serve God. Is that right? Brother Brewer's got two jobs also. He drives a school bus, and he's got a printing shop. And let me see if I can get it all, Brother Brewer. He preaches at the nursing home down here at Linton once a month. In fact, I tried to tell him the other day, he was doing so many things, I said, why don't you let me take that away from you and we'll give it to somebody else because you're busy. And he, oh, no, Pastor. He said, my family needs that. Me and my family needs that. See, I can still remember when Matt and Andrew and Ethan all of them went down there. Now still some of them going down there with them. The young kids that are home still, they're going down there with them. Then he, of course, sings in the choir. And he also, does children's church out here on Sunday morning. And he, children's choir. Why do you do that?
He drives a bus.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Now, why do you do that? You do it for the Lord. I mean, honestly. That's why, he's got jobs. He just does it for the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Now, folks, I'm not going to hit everybody, so don't get mad at me, because bless your hearts. I was looking at Brother Casper the other day, and Brother Casper came in, and he was so tired. I can't even remember what day it was, but he was wore out. And he drives a long way to work and back. And every other Sunday, or at least two Sundays a month, they go over and have the nursing home service. He's here on Saturday morning visitation. Once in a while he can't get here, but most of the time he's here. Why do you do that? He just wants to serve the Lord. Brother Bud Bowen's in there. I see him out walking, carrying that mail bag. And I know, honestly, I know he's wore out at times. I know he is. Comes in here and leads this choir and does such a wonderful job. There's a lot of work in that, folks. He does it to serve the Lord. And now listen, folks, I could just go around, I could just talk about folk. You know why they do those things? John Reiser, why in the world are you still driving a bus? You've got a pacemaker in you. And you're still driving the bus on Sunday morning, and even do it on Sunday night and Wednesday. Is there something wrong with you, guy? No, I know why he doesn't. Just do it to serve the Lord, don't you, John? You don't need someone bragging on you all the time. You don't need all that. You just do it for the Lord. You find time to do God's work. Now, we could just skip around here. We could just talk about a lot of people. I know that. But the point I'm trying to get over is, folks, God takes care of his servants.
Right. Amen.
Those who will sacrifice to serve God. Oh, it may not be as much as someone else does. No, it doesn't have to be. But they're just doing what God wants them to do through the local church. You know why? Because it's God's will. It's God's will. That's why. You just do it because you want to serve the Lord. You see, the local church, let me say something to you. The local church is so important. Now, we're living in a time when folk don't want to, no, they don't want to talk about the local church. They can do their own thing. They can do their para-ministries off on the side somewhere, not through the local church. Foolishness. Now, let me tell you something. Let me just say this to you, folks. We need to remember God placed this local church here in Jasonville, Indiana. It was his hand that did it. And he had a purpose for it. And down through the years, he has put his hand on this place because we've been willing, not just the preacher, but the people out here has been willing to take a stand and stand for God and stand on the word of God and do right and serve God.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. There's churches in this area that are not doing that. And they don't stand where we stand. They don't do the soul winning. They don't do all of these things. And I'm not up here to preach about them because I'm not naming them. If I wanted to, I would name them. But I'm not doing that tonight. I'm simply telling you, you better get behind your local church and be loyal to your local church. Why do you, the ones I mentioned and many more of you, why are you here every time the doors are open? Why are you here? You want to serve the Lord. Amen? You see, you don't let all kinds of things come in the way of being in God's house. We understand there is times, but folks, that should be very, very little times. And they should be for a real proper reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to get behind Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This church has been here for many, many years, over 30 years now, and God has blessed it. And you and I ought to thank God that He has put this church here and what God has done through this church. You ought to be thankful for that and grateful for that and thankful for it. I know I need to be. It's a place where we can serve God through. I want to tell you, there's multitudes in this room right today that I could go over and I could say the very same thing about them because they're servants. I look back here at Darcy Mallory, and Darcy Mallory's been teaching Sunday school class. I can't say that about you, Darcy, because you're a woman and you get mad. I was going to say 100 years, but she hasn't been doing that, running a bus. Her and Tina's worked on the same bus there for years and years. And see, if I stop there, somebody's going to say, you forgot me. Well, I don't mean that. I really don't mean that. Darcy, why do you do that? Serve the Lord. She's got jobs, two of them. She don't need the extra work. She makes time to serve God, teach a Sunday school class, and to ride the bus every week. And ride it home and get home maybe, 2 o'clock? I don't know. 2 o'clock, Tina? Probably somewhere in there. Every Sunday. Then get ready and get back at night. You know why? They just want to serve God. They're not doing it just for crowns, but they know that God is going to be pleased if they serve Him, and they want to please God. That's what this thing's all about. You know, and I'm just simply saying to you, I'm appalled. I'm appalled at times. And no, some people don't want to even serve God, not even a little bit. We've got some of these folks that just practically break their neck doing it. What do you think, folks? You see, God is talking to servants here. Talking to Daniel and talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego back there. He took care of them. Why? Because God is able. Our God is able. Amen? And He wants people to serve Him continually. Amen. Romans 4th chapter, please. And let me say this to you too, because I've been preaching for 34 years. I've been watching this thing for 34 years. It comes down to a choice. No, it comes to a choice. What you're going to let go ahead of the work of God. It's just a choice. And every individual makes that choice. Amen? You're no busier than anybody else. You have the same amount of hours that I do and everybody else has. You can arrange it if you want to put God's work ahead of some of those things that it needs to be ahead of. Okay? Romans 4th chapter, verse number 20. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Talking about Abraham here, and Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do what God had promised to do. What I'm saying to you is we need to get back to that old-fashioned faith in belief in God, that God is able to do whatever needs to be done. That God is able, and He is able. You said, Brother Ross, and I've had people tell me this, you don't know my problems, you don't know all that I'm facing. No, God is able. If He can take three of His children and put them in a fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than normal, and get them out of there, God is able. What happens is many times we want God to do it, and I've said this before, but he wants God to do it on our timing. And let me say, one of the reasons God can, a lot of times, cannot do it on our timing is because he's dealing with people like us. He has to get us straightened out before he can do it. He has to work in ways and bring circumstances to pass in our life to get us where we're supposed to be and get us broken into the bottom and with a contrite heart before a lot of times he can do anything. Because that's what he's after. He's not concerned too much about whether you have a new car or even a house or a food to eat. He's more concerned about your character. God is building things in us. See, as long as we fight him, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse and worse until we're broke. See, so he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Over in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, he said this, and Paul said this about himself. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know who I'm going to trust in. I've committed this unto him. And remember that word commit, because that's what he committed unto him. And I know he committed his soul, but I think Paul committed a whole lot more than his soul. Now, he did commit his soul for eternal life, but he committed a whole lot of other things too in his life. We find also in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know what he's saying? He said, God can do anything. For above anything that we would ever need, God can do it. Do we believe it? I guess that's one of the things sometimes that I want to ask us as Christians. Do we have the confidence that God is able to solve that which needs to be solved? Do we have the confidence that God is able? Amen? Well, let's talk about commitment here just for a few minutes, because I think that's where the answer is found. What God wants is for us to commit ourselves unto him. You see, Paul said he was persuaded that God could and would. And them are two different things. A lot of people say God could, but will he? Big difference. And you see, a lot of times we'll say, oh yeah, God is able to do anything, but will he for us do it? Amen. We need to commit things to God. He says in Job, the 5th chapter, he said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. That's what Job said. Now, you remember the life of Job. You remember his problems and all the troubles he went through. He said, I'm going to commit my cause to God. Why don't you commit it to God? He's able. See, if I didn't believe he was able, I would not believe the scripture. God is able. There's not a person here, if you would take a few moments and look back into your life and think a few times when it got really rough, and I don't know what it was about, or it doesn't make any difference what it was, but you saw God move in a wonderful way, and he saw you through, and he took care of you. Maybe not like you and I want, but he took care of us. We won. Amen. In Psalms 37:5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, God is looking for commitment from his people, from his servants. He said also in Psalms 31:5, he says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Once again, he's saying, commit. Commit ourselves unto God. He says in Proverbs 16:3, tells us, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God is looking for a people to commit, total commitment. Let me tell you a story. You know, I tell stories. I've been telling them for 34 years, and sometimes I tell the same one. And I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I always enjoy it. I appreciate so much if you'll just smile and act like you've never heard it. It's really very helpful to me. But did you ever hear about the cow and the chicken and the hog that got together and decided that they was going to, that there was a great hunger and they was going to help feed the world? And the cow said, you know what, I'm going to give all the milk I can give so people won't starve. And the chicken said, I'm going to lay every egg I can lay so that we'll feed the world. They'll have milk and eggs, and looked at the hog and said they can have bacon. And he looks at them and he says, you know, that's all right for you to say that, but boy, when I say that, that's total commitment. Amen? I mean, that's total commitment. I kind of believe that's what God's looking for, is total commitment. Don't you? You see, what's honestly, folks, what's happening is we're holding back. We really are holding back. We've got these little rooms in our house. You can go into a house, and I read something like this way back when I first become a Christian and God was dealing with me about giving my whole to the Lord. And this illustration was, said, go into your house and God wants your whole house. And so what happens pretty soon is you say, God, I'll give you my living room, bedroom, and every other room in there, but there's one little thing left. It's a little closet that sits over here that says, God, you can have everything you want, but you stay out of that closet. That's mine. And I see individual Christians doing this all the time. They've got one little part of their life that says, you're not getting that. No, you know what? Most of the time they don't say that. That's just what they do. They don't want anybody to think that they would withhold anything from God. But God's looking for total commitment. And he's not going to be satisfied with you controlling a closet. He wants it all. And the silly thing about this is, it's better for us to give it to him. We're going to be happier. We're going to be used more. And God is not going to do something that's going to harm us. He wants to help us. But he's waiting on total commitment. And so many people hold back on that, and they've got one little area of their life that God is not going to get. He's like the hog. He's looking for total commitment. You understand what I'm saying? That's what God wants, and that's the only thing God will be satisfied with. He's not going to let you alone until that happens. He don't work any other way. You don't fool him. You don't make bargains with God. You don't make deals with God. He wants your all and will not be satisfied with anything else. Say, Brother Ross, does he continue after you? I've found it so.
Amen.
See, you might even get down to in that closet where there's a shelf.
Yeah.
Oh, you can have the closet, God, but leave that shelf alone.
Yeah.
You say, well, that'll satisfy him. Nope. Nope,
Amen.
Not going to be satisfied. You hear what I'm saying? God wants total commitment. Amen? Amen? Won't be satisfied. You say, but I'm afraid. No, don't be afraid. God's got wonderful things for you, and whatever it is, it's okay. It's okay. Brian Sluter told me here, I don't know, some time back, he said, Brian, I think most of you knows, answered the call to preach. And he said he came to a place where he finally told God, he said, because he was afraid of this missionary thing. I don't want to go to Africa. By the way, Brother Fitzsimmons will be here the 24th. He's back in the country. I called him, talked to him today, and he'll be here the 24th to to be with us. Okay. But Brian said, you know what? He said, I told God, you know, this mission, what if he called me to be a missionary, you know? And finally, he said he had to come to the place where he just said, God, whatever. If it's a missionary, if it's whatever, I'm committing myself to you. Now, folks, every person, and not just the preacher ought to do that, every person ought to just say, I'm committed to you, Father. Whatever it is, I'm committed to you. Try to get our young people this morning in chapel service to understand just a little bit how God can use them. And God wants to use them. If they just commit themselves unto the Lord, that God could use them in so many ways. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I'm going to tell you what I told him to start with. I told him, do you know, we go back and I preached that message on Sodomites last Sunday night. And so we went back in our mind to Sodom. And I said, Sodom didn't have any preachers. The only one that could preach was Lot, and he was too chicken. They didn't have any Bibles. They didn't have any churches. They didn't have Bible studies. They didn't have prayer meetings. If they did, it was to the wrong God. They didn't have all of those things, and yet the judgment of God fell upon them because of their wickedness. And I said to the young people, what do you think God thinks about America? When we've got it all, churches practically on every corner, Bibles three or four at a time, in every home probably, you know, all day. We have prayer meetings. We got preachers by the thousands and thousands. We got all those things, and here we are just not doing the will of God. It's amazing. Do you think God's going to let us get by with that? No way. He brought fiery judgment down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And they had none of those things. Now I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need to understand something. Our God is able, but he's looking for servants. You see, we think God's just automatically going to jingle over here and say everything's going to be all right. No, God looks for servants to work through. That's who he uses. He uses people. He doesn't use angels. I'm talking about to spread the gospel. He doesn't use angels to get the work done. He uses people. And God is looking for servants that'll serve through the local church. And I want to make this clear, because I don't want this to go through this church, period. The local church is where you serve through. Does everybody agree with that? Amen. So everybody in here agrees with that? It's a local church. That's where you serve through. That's the way God set it up. I'm not interested in these parachurch ministries. Brother Casper came to me about going over to Spencer and holding the services over there, and that was one of the things we both talked about. He wanted to do it through the local church. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Brother Brewer preaches through the local church. Bobby, our son, preaches through the local church up here. And Randy Beller preaches through the local church over in the nursing home over there. All the ministries that we have is through the local church. That's where you serve. If you don't have time to serve in the local church, then you're not serving God. Now, do you agree with that? This preacher, right? So I'm just simply saying, folks, we need servants of God. Servants of God. And I want to tell you, God is able. Yes, he is able. He's able to take care of any problem you have. He can remove the problem or give you grace to get through it. But God is able, and he will take care of his children. Take care of his servants. Promised it. You understand what I'm saying? Got a revival coming up. Need our hearts right with God. Need to be servants of the true and living God. I challenged our young people this morning to do something for God, to do something about this revival that's coming up, to give yourselves to do something and get people here, pray, do whatever is necessary. I told our young people can do things for God and meet and get a hold of people that other people have trouble doing, because people will listen to young people. But don't for one moment ever, any of us, ever cop out and say, if the young don't do it, it can't be done. Shame on us. It's for all of us to do. All of us to get on our knees and pray. And all of us to go out and do the work that needs to be done. All of us to invite folk to the meeting and pray about the meeting. And do everything we can to win souls for Christ. And get everything we can to get our hearts prepared and ready for the meeting. Amen. We need adults setting the example for these young people. Amen. So let's just get prepared. Amen. Good time to start the prayer meeting right after church service this night. Best of my ability, I'm going to get down here on my knees, creaking and doing everything else. But I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to call out to God and ask God for help in the revival. I trust that every person in here will do the same thing. Spend some time. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. Now, Lord, we need you tonight. And even during this invitation, Father, we just turn it over to you and ask you, God, to work on hearts. And Father, that you can get your work done in all of our lives. Whatever the need is, God, deal with us and help us. And Father, should there be any here unsaved, Father, this would be a wonderful time for them to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon the cross of Calvary for them, that they might have eternal life. Now, Father, we turn this invitation over to you and ask you, Lord, please, please be able to do what needs to be done. I know you're able, but let us, oh God, be willing to let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen.